Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it is me, the commish of the EAFL, the owner, Commish T, here. Happy New Year. It's January 6, 2009. I'm proud to say I have not written 2008 once yet. Now I will tomorrow all day. But 2009, Happy New Year, the Kwanzaa, Three Kings Day, and you know whatever other holidays out there I may have missed. 2 weeks from the inauguration of Barack Obama as President of the United States, 2 weeks from today. And welcome to the show. We have a very exciting lineup tonight. I have some guests calling in, and I already see some people are on the line waiting, and we'll get to those in a hot second. I started off with the Vince McMahon theme song as the chairman of the WWE, whenever he comes onto the scene with his power walk, and that's the music that's played, and it always gets me pumped up when Vince comes on. I know you guys are wrestling fans out there. Don't act like you don't watch wrestling. Wrestling and Madden have a lot in common. One night we're going to do a show. Won't be tonight, but we're going to do a show, and we want people to call in and say, what does their Madden game, what wrestler does their Madden game most resemble? And that show is going to be coming soon. Show 32 tonight. And again, here for 2 hours. If you want to call into the show, it's 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525 if you want to call in. If you want to catch me on Instant Messenger, you can do that. I am on AOL Instant Messenger as we speak, and that would be at EAFL Commissioner on Instant Messenger. And if you want to do the old-fashioned way of emailing, you can do that, too, at themaddenvoice@eaflmadden.com. We check the ratings out again for the show, as we do weekly, to kind of see where we are. And I'll tell you, the show is picking up major amounts of steam. We have, not only are we undisputed as the number one Madden show, but now, you know, as far as all the shows that are out there in our category, and there are literally hundreds of shows, we are in the top 20 for shows in our category on the site. So that's thanks to you guys and your loyalty to the show, your loyalty to tuning into the Madden Voice to hear the latest on what's going on in the EAFL, to hear the latest on the tournament scene, to hear the latest of what's going on in Madden, and, you know, to get it right from the proverbial horse's mouth. So as I say that, let's see who we have on the line. And we have several calls, so we're going to see who we have here. And I'm expecting some particular people to call in. I don't see them as of yet, but we do have some other people. So let's see who we got on the line here. 804 area code, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's going on? It's Business First. Elijah just calling in. I spoke over with the commissioners from EFLE, and they said it's cool if I give a rundown, but that's going to be just later on in the show. But I also just wanted to check in with the show and just hear everything via the telephone tonight.
Okay, cool. Well, then we'll leave you on mute, and time permitting, we will we'll allow you to give a little rundown of what's going on a little bit later in the show.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll go ahead and put him on hold, and we will now go to our next call. And 732 area code, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yep, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good. I'm Little Man from GTP.
Little Man, heard you were calling in. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. Hang in there. We're still waiting on Bobby's going to be calling in, so I'm going to keep you sitting right there until we get Bobby on, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. This Little Man from Game Time Philly is going to be on with Commish Storm as soon as he calls in. And 610 area code, welcome to the Madden Voice.
He can't even hear us.
I can hear you now, 610.
Yeah, that's Bobby. This is Bobby Storm, man. I'm calling.
Oh, this is Bobby. Oh, okay.
Yeah, what's going on,
buddy? Okay. Nothing, man. Welcome to the show. Glad you could make it.
I didn't mean to throw you off by calling you from a different number.
Nah, that's okay, man.
What's going on, Commish?
Nothing, man. Glad you could make it.
Yeah, I got Dynasty on the line, too.
What's
we're on
up,
the freeway
man?
Here.
Welcome to the show, Dynasty.
What's up, man? Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming. Okay, I just unmuted Little Man. So, Little Man, you there?
Yes.
All right. So just to kind of make sure everybody knows, we have we are honored. Maybe I should, you know, let's do this right here. Let's do some sizzling bacon here. Let's do here you go. All right, enough of that. That's supposed to be applause, but it sounds like sizzling bacon. But we have the commissioner, the head of Game Time Philly, the one and only Bobby Storm. We have Dynasty, and if you watch the most recent Madden Nation series, you certainly know who Dynasty is. And we have, from what I hear, one of the hottest up-and-coming ballers out on the scene, Little Man. And you know, let's turn to Bobby first. Just so that everybody understands what Game Time Philly is, let's not assume that everybody out there is up on what's going on in the Madden scene. Maybe just give a quick rundown of who you are and what Game Time Philly is.
I mean, for most of the part, guys that are around the country know I guess who I am as far as we've been establishing over the years. And we know not just the crew. We give tournaments over the years, national tournaments, which has more recently been exposed from Players Bowl, which has grown to be like a huge animal. I know everybody's out there talking about it. Far as anybody talking about, there's not going to be a Players Bowl. Just throw that out the trash because there is going to be a Players Bowl. We're working on the dates right now, trying to confirm it. We're actually thinking about just having one big, huge Players Bowl instead of having two smaller ones because the demand is so big. So stay tuned for that. And like I said, we'll be coming on the show and announcing that to the whole nation and let them know exactly when the date is for Players Bowl. But as far as Game Time, for guys that don't know, like I said, we've been doing this crew for like over 7 years, you know, before Dynasty and Little Man. So we had guys going back to the first EA Man Challenge when Untouchable and 40G's won. You know, we guys been doing the Man Challenge tour since it started. And from there, we just been like just winning titles, you know, and just always been in the thick of things. I mean, guys don't really know our history, but we probably won over like 11, 12 cities over the 7-8 year span of the Madden Challenge. We got at least three national championships, you know, and at least about two runner-ups. So we've been doing this thing for a while. And like I said, Dynasty's just continuing to ring. Gene's still in the thick of things. And then we got Little Man really making all the noise. So, you know, we expect the guys to just come and step their game up and really put their thing up today. So we're really looking forward to this year and see what Little Man can do and see what Dynasty just continue to do his thing.
All right, that sounds good. That's hot. That's hot. So let's jump right into some of the discussions that's been going on. You know, over the last, I'm really glad that you got to call in. We want to make sure that everybody is heard. And over the last several weeks, there's been a lot of discussions from different entities out there in the tournament scene, in the tournament world. And your name, you know, as one of the more central figures, you know, in the tournament scene, always seems to come up. You know, it's sometimes in a very positive sense, and sometimes, you know, where people are having some questions on some things. And you know, I think now is a good time for you to go ahead and maybe talk about some of the things you've heard, some on the show and some you probably heard from around the way, and maybe, you know, set the record straight on, you know, your view of the tournament scene. And I also know, you know, you want to discuss some things that went on the message boards as well.
Well, like I said, I've been out of the loop as far as on the message board is concerned. I want to apologize to everybody for that for at least the last 2-3 months. And then a lot of things I've been working on personally at home, taking care of business. You know, you got to take care of home first. So pretty
Absolutely.
Much I've been just running things behind the scene. But my man T-Boy from Harrisburg Balls Club, big shout out to him because he's been really holding things down as far as the East Coast for us. And Thurman's out there doing his thing in Baltimore. You know, them guys have really been holding their things down as far as the old man federation. You know, I can't get my man Boza. And then I got a whole bunch of other guys just really holding the whole federation down as far as the East Coast is concerned. As far as any rumors, I really don't get into the whole rumor mill. And I guess I heard, you know, this was said about me or this was said about the tournaments and what have you. You know, I always tell, you know, when I put a post up, you know, and these guys know me. I've been out here for like 7-8 years. For a lot of these guys even got here. And if they got any issue with what we doing, how we doing things, my number's right up there. Or my email's right up there. You know, I answer any questions. I don't duck any questions. You know, this community is about us. And I think that's what the ballers have to understand. And that's what the commissioners or any tournament directors have to understand. It ain't about who gives the best tournament or who's giving a tournament this week or whatever. I'm trying to knock him out the box because we all need each other. And until these guys understand that, they got to understand that we just bring each other down. So I'm not sure exactly what happened or what the rumor mill was, but I'll address anything that needs to be talked about. But on the standpoint of me being one of the guys from, you know, from the forefront, we put this thing out here, we had to set example, you know. So what needs to be talked about, we can talk about. But what needs to be answered, we'll go ahead and answer and clear that up so we can
get ready for the tournament
season.
Yeah, and let's talk about the more recent issue where, you know, someone that you know really well, N.J. Rod, had some concerns about, you know, he runs a monthly tournament and, you know, and he felt that, and I, you know, and I'm certainly not trying to necessarily put words in his mouth, but based on what he said right here on the Madden Voice, that, you know, there was a tournament that you were running and it felt to him like the tournament kind of came up, you know, at the last minute and was in direct conflict with his tournament. And he had felt that maybe there should have been some discussion or better coordination. I think there was a post made on the Madden Lab about it, and it, you know, led to some conversation. And, you know, we heard his side of it, but, you know, from your end of it, you know, how would you address that?
Again, I'm hearing the rumor mills. Like I heard what he said or what was said. Like I said, I don't really get into that. I said, I've been doing this thing long enough to know what the rules are or what we can play by or what we can set up standards with. But the issue comes down to, like I said, as far as our end, as far as that tournament that was given, that was a tournament given at a pool hall. Pool hall has come to a lot of guys know 40 G's owns a pool hall in Philly. And to clear it up, we gave a tournament at the last – it wasn't the last minute. Hey, I went to the Harrisburg Ballers Club tournament back in October. Was it October or the beginning of November? Yeah.
I think it was in October.
Yeah, October. And the guys were saying, well, when you get in the first Philly tournament? I said, no, we're working on some things with Players Bowl next year. I'm going to have a little one at the pool hall probably in December. And I told them guys that. I said, probably something small, nothing too big. The guys at East Coast, I told them that. But like I said, we didn't really put it out there to blast it like that because it wasn't nothing major. See, Commission, you have to understand, and I understand about the dates and the same dates. I'm one that was a big influence with that years, saying, no, don't crash on the same dates. But what you also got to understand is the difference between a major tournament and a local tournament. And local tournaments are basically set up for those guys that can't drive, those guys that can't get to those major tournaments. So I got guys in Philly that take the bus, subway, and they don't know nothing about NJ Rod. They don't know nothing about KLTC or Up the Pike or whatever. So they want a tournament in here in Philly. So I've been getting calls from them saying, when are you going to throw a tournament? So we put a tournament together, 40 G's, said, let's put a tournament together, and we threw one together. Now, and it just so happened that my son, who's 9 years old, had a banquet that day. And, yes, they all play Madden. So we threw a little tournament for them together at the pool hall. So I threw a little flyer together and say, you know what, we'll have it for the local guys, And I deliberately told Dynasty, wait till the last minute to put it up there because I knew that Rod had had a tournament out there. Now, if I was really trying to step on his toes, I would put it out there in the beginning, but I'm not that kind of person. You know, me and Rod go way back, so I know he had something. But at the same time, 40 G's didn't have any other dates to put it out there. That was the only date we can do it. So you're going to not always have it where it lines up, where, okay, you have it on this date, I can't have it on that date. It was a local tournament for local ballers. Now, it just so happened that some guys that lived near Philly wanted to come to the tournament. Hey, they are welcome to come, but I didn't blast it. I mean, I put my little blast out there like we do, but I'm not going to sit there and say, yeah, you can't come because Rod's having a tournament. It wasn't like that. It was what was really blown out of proportion more than it was. You know what I mean? It was really blown out of proportion more than it was. We had 9-year-olds playing a little side tournament, and then Dynasty and Gene and 40, who that's their home hall, you know, was playing, and the nephew and them came up because they're right over the pike. You know, I got guys that's in Baltimore that's not traveling all the way up to Rise Tournament, but they'll travel to Philly. You know what I'm saying? So when they found out that I was having a tournament, I said, well, we're going to have a little tournament. It's not never really big, but we still want to come. And all of a sudden, that got blown onto the board where I'm stepping on his toes. It's the same day. That's disrespectful. I said, this is not Players Bowl. This is not Nationals. You know, it's not a major tournament. It's a tournament in a pool hall. We had, what, 15, 20 guys. Yeah. You know, that's not going to hurt nothing. And then the thing about it is his tournament had a decent turnout, and so did ours. Nobody, there's no harm, no foul. You know, sometimes the dates don't match up. It's nothing you can do. So that whole thing was blown out of proportion. I don't know why it went there. Rod and I talked afterwards. You know, we worked it out, and, you know, some things were said. But the bottom line is, Commissioner, like what I said earlier, and I hope the kids learn from this, because if you got issues with anybody on the boards, it should be handled off the boards. You know, that goes way back to, and a lot of these guys don't know who Swami was, but Swami, Baller Brown, myself, Top, you know, we started all this thing, you know, reality and all that. All that bash on the boards, it don't do nothing but make you look bad, me look bad, and everybody. And it brings everybody down. So if you have an issue, and then I'm saying I'm wrong or right, but if you have an issue with me or anybody on the boards, take it off the boards. That's what phone numbers are called. That's what PMs are for. Take it off the boards and deal with it then. Because then you make yourself look better. Guys are sitting there talking on the board saying, Bobby said this and Bobby said that. But nobody called Bobby. You know, you understand what I'm saying, Commission?
Right. No, I get
nobody, you. Nobody, people said they have problems with the dates, but not one phone call was given to me. Say, hey, what's going on the 17th? You know, I mean, me and Rod go back, and I told him that. I have no problem with him. We go back too far for that. You know, I said, well, I didn't get a phone call. I would have told you what was going on. It's not that serious. You know, so that whole thing was blown out of proportion. And that's my whole side of it.
Right. And I you know, I think that just, you know, maybe a couple of things. One is, I think, I want to get your thoughts on this in a second as well. I think that, you know, I've had a lot of the tournament directors on the show, and I think I might even have a couple of more on hold as we speak. Let me just make sure. Let me see. This might be 3-1 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Come on, man. You got to stop messing with this.
310, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, my bad, man. I'm playing with my son, dog. I'm all listening, man. It's A1. What's up, Bobby? What's up, everybody?
I thought it was you. That's why I wanted to make sure that you were on in case you had something you wanted to chime in on. And hold that for a second. We've got another 215 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up, Commissioner T? It's Ron. Philly Ron.
Hey, Ron. How you doing, brother? Good, good. I want to make sure everybody had a chance to, you know, to be on. I a couple things I wanted to say. First one is I do want your thoughts on the tournament scene because there's been a lot of discussion on it. Do you think that possibly, you know, with all of the talks that we have heard over the last few weeks about the decline in participation at the tournament and, you know, from the outside looking in, someone just sees a post about a tournament from a well-known tournament organizer on the same day, that, you know, what turns out to be miscommunication in the very beginning just felt like, wow, you know, I know Bobby, why didn't Bobby just reach out to me and say I'm doing a tournament? Now, you know, Monday morning quarterback, and it turns out it was just a small thing, but it appears that there's a lot of stress in the tournament scene because the perception is that the numbers are just not there, and guys are really struggling, you know, to be able to throw a good tournament and forget making money, just breaking even.
Right. I think, personally, I mean, we all have our own flavor how we throw tournaments. You know, A1 got his flavor, I got mine, Rod's got his, and we all come together to, I guess, represent the underground tournament scene. But like I said, on the same note, you know, so we all do things a little different than each other, but it's no disrespect towards each other. But again, it's like if you throw an event, that's how you throw an event. And it's like I said, if you, like, for instance, we had an issue a couple of months ago, which I was mentioning that. We had a tournament on the same day a couple of months ago Rod had a tournament at the Wachovia Center. And we had a tournament the Federation represented in Baltimore, which is, again, right up the pike. It was on the same day. Again, both had beautiful turnouts. You know, Thurman had lines around the corner. You know, I'm not sure what Rod had at his tournament, but from what I understand, we had both beautiful turnouts. Here's the thing, Commiss. As long as you represent, everything is gravy. You know what I mean? Everything is cool. So, I mean, we sent guys up to Rod's tournament even when we had a tournament at ours. You know?
Right.
It's not like I'm saying, all right, you know what? Don't go to Rod's tournament. I'm going to go to mine's. We don't do that. You know what I'm saying? We done been there, done that. It does not work. We all need each other. So it's like you can ask any of my guys. We had like 10 guys that was going to tournament. I said, look, who wants to go to Rod's? Who's going to stay here? You know what I'm saying? We got guys that already live up there. Little man already live up there. He said, I'm going to that tournament. Juggernaut, who's a faithful participant at Rod's tournament. He probably only knows he's with GTP. When we had the Baltimore tournament at Thurman's, we sent 3 or 4 guys to Rod's tournament when it was the same day. But I didn't get – there was no post that Thurman was having a tournament the same day or Bobby is and T-Boy is throwing a tournament the same day. You know, it's just like pick your poison. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get
no
you.
Blow up
I
was that,
you.
And that tournament was bigger than this one. That tournament was bigger than this one. We're talking about a pool hall backyard joint that turned decent. You know what I mean? It was like, okay. Like I said, it was really made more than what it was. And right or wrong, whether I should have communicated with him or he should have communicated with me, my whole thing was we should work it out off the boards. You know, that was my whole thing. I don't understand why a post was made like that. And like I said, me and A1, we go way back. You know, we cool. So me and him straight. So I don't understand how the whole Rod thing got blown like it was. But whatever it is, it's squashed. It's done. I think the tournament scene is there waiting for us to take charge. You know, it's always really starting January on. I think we're going to have a positive year. You know, we got the Turks coming up in a matter of a week. You know, we're going to crown a new national champion. And then you're going to have all these tournaments in the East Coast. You got tournaments in the West Coast and hopefully, you know, down south. You got Players Bowl coming up, and who knows what's coming up in May or June, you know? So, I mean, we all have to get behind each other. Local guys got to come out and support these tournaments. You know, if you could take a bus there, drive there, get in the car, load up, support these tournaments. Because if you don't support them, there's going to be less tournament organizers and ain't going to be no more tournaments. And when there's no more tournaments, you're not going to have anything to go to. So we have to get behind each other and support each other. And that means also us fly west as well as eat the west fly east. You know, I think I talked the reality about that last year because I said there's something that we want, get these East Coast guys to go to west because West Coast are always coming to see us. And I show reality, much love when he always gets them guys together. So I want to get a group of guys and we want to go support them.
Hello?
Yo.
You said West Coast travel?
I said West Coast travel.
Nah, well, man, I live on the West Coast, man. This is all the West Coast cats. This is A1. West Coast do not travel. It's about 4 dudes that travel, but they need to get out and support more. Let's be real honest with it. We
don't travel no more.
When the last time they traveled?
They traveled when they played Bowl last year. Yeah. They came out there. Panorama.
Come on, man.
Quality.
Come on. Dude, can you count them all on one hand?
Count them all on one hand. They still travel, though.
I live on the West Coast, man. I'm just saying, we don't travel, and we need to. That go on with the whole tournament thing. Hey, if there's something going on the East Coast, it's Players Bowl. It need to be 30 cats out from the West Coast out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
That's all I'm saying. But I got to go back and mess with my son, man. I'm listening.
Bobby, let me get you, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, what is your, where do you think the tournament scene is? And I mean, clearly, you know, one of the things we want to do here on the show is help promote the tournament scene, talk about the different tournaments going on around the country, and really be a venue where people can call in, promote their events, and really get something positive going there. But there's been a lot of discussion that, you know, things need to change, that, you know, maybe the marketing isn't being done properly, or, you know, maybe the top ballers, and maybe, you know, maybe Dynasty and Little Man could chime in here, but maybe the top ballers need to take on a little more responsibility in promoting the event. What do you guys think? I mean, is there any truth to some of the things that are being said about the tournament scene, or is it as strong today as it's ever been?
Well, I'll let you guys go.
Can I, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ron. You got it.
Yeah, let me just, as far as, and I was just talking about to Bobby about this a little bit before getting on the show, but we're, the tournament scene is strong, period. There's always going to be certain events that people basically plan around, and we just we know that. So if you have a strong tournament or you're used to seeing a high level of competition at a certain event, then that's always going to be there. So as far as the regular tournament scene going, is not really an issue right here. Now, there are ways that we can build more numbers and branch out to other people. And I mentioned something to Bobby about that a little bit earlier, and that's something that we're going to put in the works, but right now it still has to be talked to. We can't even really mention too much about it as of right now. But believe me, there's a way to actually jumpstart the tournament scene to get new guys coming out, even that aren't currently playing right now. So, I mean, that's something that's being worked on. It's not like we're just saying, you know what, here's a product, and because you're used to coming to these events, we expect you to be here. I mean, no matter what area, you know, that you deal in or that you are a part of, you can't get lazy with it. So the tournament directors, and the guys who, you know, assist some of the tournament directors or just, you know, politic with some of the tournament directors aren't going to sit there and say, you know what, we cool with doing things this one way and we're going to leave it like that. No, we're out here actually thinking about other stuff as well to try to get new people in, try to make the whole, you know, feel of these tournaments appeal to other guys, because a lot of guys, you know, don't really want to come to events if they feel as though somebody – from, let's talk about a show. Somebody's from a show going to be there and just going to come in and mouth off at you all day. So you got to find ways to bring these newer cats in, because really the tournament scene isn't the guys who are already coming out. Those are diehards. They're going to come out regardless. You got to grow the scene, or you're going to keep the scene going by getting those new cats out there who say, you know what, for this first time, you know, I just want to try this. Like last year, a lot of people couldn't stand the guy, but last year Cutler Killer made his way out. So you had a guy who played specifically online but then came to a tournament, and now he got to see, okay, this is what really goes on. So who knows who this guy is talking to, who knows who he will bring to the upcoming tournament. So it's not we can't get lazy, basically, or get in a comfortable mindset where we're saying, you know what, we're used to doing it this way, we're just going to stick to doing things this way. We got to look for other avenues to try to bring in new people.
Okay. All right. Dynasty, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Question for you.
My take on it, I mean, I just look at it as though, like, some of the tournaments, I mean, you hear guys, like we have a tournament on the West Coast or something, I hear some of the dudes saying, I shouldn't even go because Problem is going to be there and he's going to win it easy. I mean, I think the reason some of the dudes don't come out, you hear, like, a big name is going to be there and they just don't show up. I mean, I think that's one of the
reasons. Exactly. He's telling the truth. That's what happened.
Like,
go ahead, man. My bad.
I mean, that's just the way I look at it. I mean, I hear A1 posting a tournament on the West Coast, and I see dudes reply to it, and they'll be like, oh, I'm not going because Problem's going to be there. He's going to win it easy. I mean.
But, now, I hear you with that, Dynasty, but where does that mindset come from? Because the older cats, like myself.
They don't do that over East. We don't do that over here. And it's like it's been like that for a minute, but we don't
no matter who's going to show up at Players Bowl, dudes is coming. And it's like, no matter who showed up at Mega Bowl, dudes was coming. You know, dudes, when we had Nationals, it was like, dudes is coming. It's like nobody said, all right, problem gone. We're not playing. Nobody stays up top. If you look at it, nobody stay. You might have guys that's consistent, like Gene, Problem, Nephew, and them guys. But that's the whole motivation. Knock him off the top. You know what I'm saying? When them other balls used to win and everything, that's the whole motivation. I want to beat the top baller. I want to knock him off. He's not going to stay up there for long. Your job is to dissect his game and figure out what he's doing so you can get up the top. Where's this thing where Problem going to be there? So what Problem going to be there? You know what I'm saying? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I got you, man. But y'all more top-heavy in talent on the East Coast, man, or the South, wherever you want to put it. But on the West Coast, man, all it is Problem. They're not the problem. The only person I can think of is maybe 1-9. And it's been like that the last 3-4 years out here on the West Coast. See, what happened was when we went from PS2, like when I used to throw the PS2 tournaments, man, I'd get 150 people at a tournament. But right. You know why? Because it was hood ballers. I mean, like, man, I don't care who this dude is. You know, I'm about to do, I'm the toughest in my hood, and I'm a dude. But when we went to this Xbox and Xbox 360, I lost all the hood ballers.
Yeah,
so really, that killed the tournament scene out here for me. Or hood ballers, whatever you want to call it.
That killed it for everybody. I mean, we all had to revamp from there.
It's just, man, until they go back to PS3 and they make PS3 affordable, cash just not going to do it unless we're going back to the PS2 out west. On the East Coast, you guys have a different demographic of people. Everybody's going to go to whatever the talent is because the states are so close. See, from Compton to the Bay Area, that's like a 10-hour drive. See, y'all can go through 8 states where y'all from. You know what I mean? And get everybody. So it's just a demographic problem out here. But then that goes back to the tournament director. Like, I have to get out there and put my green flyers out. You know, I have to get up all the game stores, all the barbershops. But at the time when I'm doing that, everybody's on the, is it on PS2? Is it on PS2? Is it on PS3? You know what I mean? Nobody's really talking about the 360 because cash just don't want to go to it that's out here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the problems I have. So the marketing thing, like really, I gave up on the marketing because it's so hard to get 360 ballers out here. That's why I got to do free tournaments. And I'm like, okay, everybody come in, and you know, I'll make $200. I'll make $50, but I'm having it in my office. I don't have any expenses. All I'm losing is my time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas out east, I almost want to say, hey, Bobby, hey, Robin, I'm going to come out here. I'm going to bring $2,500. Let's do a tournament out here for $5,000. Let's go half on it because I know you can get everybody to come down.
Yeah.
But that's how it is out here on the West Coast. So, shit, but, you know, it's different. It'll get better, though.
It's got to get better. It's got to get better. And I think one of the key things also is those local tournaments, like you say. It's guys that play online or guys that don't know who we are as organizers, as a community, that don't know about these different message boards and these different radio shows. You know, you got to get them out so they can get the word out. So, I mean, that's the whole point of doing these local tournaments. You know, guys that don't know who GTP is or WWA is or the corporation or whatever, you know, they just know that, like you said, they're boys in the hood. But then once they get out there and see all that, then guess what? That makes their numbers go up. I think everybody got a chance, though. I just think everybody got a chance. It's all what you put into the game. It's all what you put into the game. Them guys that think outside the box are the guys that always win.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, back to marketing, you know, I mean, you have to know who your market is, and you gotta figure out ways to reach that market because, you know, Madden is no different than any other. You know, we have a product, you guys are offering a service, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there that might be interested, but how do they find out? And I think what a lot of people don't know is that most people, you know, a lot of people that are in our circles don't, maybe, you know, we don't, you look at the true numbers of the game, and most of the people that buy the game sit at home and either play franchise or play their friends. And so there is a whole market out there, guys, that don't even know that they can go to tournaments and play people and there's money involved and, you know, all of these things. And so how does the word get to those people? Because some of those guys can ball. So how does the word get out there to those people as well?
Me personally, I think the streets. I think you got, you know, like A1 said, when you hit the corners and the flyers up on the walls and then the poles and stuff, you know, you could do radio and different stuff like that, but that's never really worked to my experience. like it should. Like I said, when you get out there and meet the guys and go to the malls and the barbershops and meet the guys like that, that to me, that's been always been experience. They get the guys out.
Right.
You know,
right.
As well as how we behave online, as far as with online games. You know, I've met a ton of guys through the work that I do online, as far as just playing random cats, and instead of calling a guy a bum or saying this or that, you know, find ways that you know you got a game in hand. Why don't you find ways to try to, you know, help this dude out, or say, you know what, you know, you got something right there that you can build off of if you do this or that. After we finish this game, how about I holler at you and we see about this or that? And that right there, you're building a relationship. You're building a network. And who knows if you can get that guy to then turn around and want to come and see what you're all about. That a lot of we don't take advantage of every opportunity that we have to actually grow this community, whether it's on something that I do, whether it's a tournament. Any interaction that you have with someone who is not involved with what you do, your attitude towards that person can bring that person into what you do or turn them away from even wanting to deal with people like
mm-hmm.
you. So we got to take advantage of those opportunities as well. And I think that, you know, that's you talking about free advertising, you online playing anyway. So you can easily get a game against somebody. You know what, you in practice mode yourself, you just want to look at a playbook or something because you know that you can't take your real books into a real competitive game. So you just online balling with somebody. You say, okay, this guy he doesn't really have the scheme, but he's running this one play. If he knew how to run it a certain way or knew how to add to it, maybe this dude, you know, could be an okay baller. Maybe this is a guy who we would want to get out here, not necessarily to pad numbers, but this is, you need those people out there. Regardless of if they have an overall chance right away to win or not, you need those people out there just so that you can grow your event from the bottom up or from the top up. Because more than likely, you're not going to find tournament-type talent on the Internet as far as being able to deal with the pressure right away.
Mm-hmm.
You will find a lot of guys on the Internet who can play, but until they're face-to-face dealing with that type of pressure, that's a totally different monster. But there's a lot of guys when we'll get into a close game with somebody online, and if they win or if they have an opportunity to win, somebody will DC them or that person will DC you. Take the whole attitude, well, so-and-so, this dude is a bum. That's the community you're talking about. You're talking about the people that you need. You're calling them bums, but then wanting your community to grow. You can't do that. That's not going to work.
Let me ask Dynasty a question. You know, you were on the show. You were on the Mad Nation show.
Right.
You're one of the top ballers in the country. You know, there's a discussion out there that says, you know, based on what was just said, you know, the top ballers are not embracing guys that aren't in their kind of clique, if you will. That instead, you know, instead of being ambassadors to the game and really saying, hey, man, you know, I like what I see in you. You know, if you work on your game or whatever, as you heard about this tournament, many of them, I'm not going to put them all in one category, but many of, you know, your fellow competitors are quick to say, oh, that guy's, even if they lose, they're quick to say, oh, that guy got lucky. You know, he's a bum. He can't play the game. And in some cases, we're hearing that people just get so turned off by it, they just walk away from tournament competition. In your opinion, do you think that as a top baller, that you and your compadres have an obligation to embrace these guys that are up and coming? Or do you think, hey, it's competition. I'm going to do what I got to do to win. That's my job, is to win. And if they can't handle it, then the heck with them.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, like, if I see somebody online and, like, they're good or whatever, I'll give that dude credit. I'll be like, yo, this guy's good. And I'll message him and be like, yo, good game, stuff like that. But then, like, sometimes you get somebody that'll beat you, and then they'll just talk straight trash. And I'm like, I'm not all into, like, that talk of trash on the Internet and stuff like that. So I just let some of the stuff rot. But, I mean, I really think that we should, like, up-and-coming dudes up. But, and then I think we shouldn't. I don't know. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Okay. Little man.
Yes?
You haven't said much. What do you think?
Well, to me, I'm a trash talker. I like to talk a lot of trash, but the only reason why I do it is because I like to get in people's head and like make them make mistakes during the game. So if I can make them mess up and I can create turnovers, then I can take advantage of that, and then their hands start to sweat, they get nervous, and it's just a lot of things that I like to do. But at the end of the game, if I win or lose, I say good game, you won, and that's it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and that's, okay. And see, that's cool what they're doing as far as that, because their goal or their outlook isn't the same as what we're – like, we can't expect everybody to have a community-type mindset when you're a competitor. See, that's the one thing with the different levels of your game at Madden. Like, the reason why – I'm not going to say I don't mind – I don't care – I technically don't care if I win or lose, because my job, as far as I'm concerned, is to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to enjoy the game. So my mindset is a little different than someone who I have to, I don't want to say has to win, but that's their goal. Their goal is, when I turn this thing on, I have to win all the time. And when you're in a competitive level right now, and as far as the Madden Challenge goes, that's what your mindset has to be. You can't. And I mean, nobody wants to lose, regardless of who you are. But there are people who will get in a funk if they lose, compared to somebody who, you know what, just take that on the chin, keep going. I've seen guys like and Bobby, like, you know, we've seen 40 walk away from the game a couple years ago because who was it, Torrey Holder? Somebody dropped a slant pass going across the middle, and he had the game won.
Mm-hmm.
But a receiver dropped the ball. So when you see someone go through that, the agony that they got to deal with because of how the level of competition that they're involved with, you know, you can't really expect a guy to finish the game and say, you know what, I need you to, not necessarily I need you, but you should think about coming out to this. Considering like Dynasty or Little Man just said, if a dude pops off online, I'll just let it slide, and you know, at the end of the game, just that's it. But if you really want to be honest about it, look at the guys who we play in tournaments, and the guys that we play in tournaments are those same type of guys who would be online talking trash if they knew you. So if you find a trash talker online, you're really finding your side-by-side competitor who would be at a tournament. That's what we actually show when we come to these tournaments. So that's actually somebody who you might want to look at. You know what, this dude feels so confident about his game. Yo, I hear you, man. You really think you like that? There's an event coming. Why don't you come and see how good you are stacked up against me head-to-head? Or why don't you come out to this? So it's all ways that we can go about approaching these cats to build these things, but at the same time, everybody doesn't have that same mindset because our goals right now are different. You know, their goals right now is get this to take advantage of the point in time that they're at in their Madden career. And right now, they're top-level competitors, so they need to take advantage of every opportunity that they have to keep building their name. Once they get outside of that and that timing or whatever starts to slip, then they'll say, you know what, now in order to stay at that level, I need to start building these other guys. Not necessarily to keep yourself involved, but you'll see that you're cultivating the community more by doing that. You'll have more of an impact by the individuals who you help bring up than you just trying to worry about, you know, enhancing your own skills.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess I'm a bit old school, you know, and I hear what you're saying, and I've been to a few tournaments myself, and I don't know that I've seen exactly what Dynasty, a little man, is referring to. I've seen guys that we all know, that we see at all the tournaments, and at no provocation whatsoever, I had a guy do it to me, and didn't know who I was, but just decided that I was going to be his target, and, you know, called me a bum and you bought every other name that he could think of. And there's a difference between, okay, the game is on, you're trying to get in my head, and, you know, just being disrespectful and just being belligerent. And, you know, I think that if we're trying to build a community, that, you know, people have to understand the difference between, okay, you know, they used to talk about Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan would smile at you, shake your hand, you know, give you a high five, but then when the game came on, you know, he was the assassin.
Oh, he was rude.
Until the game was over. You know, then when the game's over, he shake your hand and smile again. So for those 48 minutes, Mike didn't know you. Mike didn't want no part of you. He wasn't your friend, but he'd kill you. And I think, you know, something along those lines where, you know, while you're in competition, hey, all butts are off. But when the game is over, you got your win, now move on. And I just think a little bit of a higher standard of, you know, it's okay to talk to the guy that you don't know, that you just blew out 28-0 or 21-0 or whatever. But it's okay to say to him, hey, man, I hope to see you here again. Good game. And then move on with your life. I just think that little missing piece could be the difference between, you know, having guys walking away with a positive experience. Hey, I played Dynasty. I played Big Gene. And I played these guys that I saw on TV. And, yeah, they stomped me into the ground, but then he shook my hand after and said he hopes to see me back again. Hey, I'm definitely coming back to this tournament. Versus, man, you a bum. What are you even doing here? Why did you even bother registering for this thing? Man, don't ever come in. Don't see me again. I just think there's a difference, you know. And again, I'm a little older than most of the guys, you know, that are involved in this. But I'm just throwing that out there as just food for thought.
You got a good point when you bring that up. I know one thing Swami used to tell us when we had all the nationals. He said, you know your opponent, but you don't really know your opponent. You know what I'm saying? So when you playing these games, it's hard to talk trash and everything. But like I said, some of these guys take it to the extreme and disrespect their opponent. You know what I mean? And we all talk trash. Madden is a talk trash game, but you can't disrespect your opponent. Like Swami said, you don't know who he is. You don't know what he's capable of. You don't know what he might do. You know, and it's like, and for you to say, I'm getting back, and if he stepped to me, I'm going to step to him. For what? Over a Madden, over a game, it's crazy, you know. So, like I said, like I understand what you're saying. You know, talk trash, but like when a game is over, get a man a handshake. A good game, yeah. You know, hope to see you again, whatever. I think that would go a long way in the community. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't doing nothing but spreading positivity amongst whatever event it is. You know what I mean? I think that's a great idea. I really do.
Yeah, and I think then you start to say, it's a community. You know what I mean? Because people fight in communities, right? Families fight. You have disagreements.
Yeah.
I got a brother. Everybody got brothers and sisters. You fight. You fight tooth and nail with your family. But at the end of the day, what do? You hug them. My bad. You know, and we move on. And I just think that part of it is missing. That piece of it is missing. So, you know, I'm going to be out there at Players Bowl this year. And, you know, a couple of the other big ones. And hopefully, you know, hey, man, I'll practice what I preach. You know, I'm not all that good on the sticks, but you know, I'll get out there and compete, and I'll set by example. I'll lead by example. I'll be the first one to go up and shake somebody's hand and say, hey, man, good game, hope you come back. And let's just hope we can start a trend where guys are starting to realize that, you know, being respectful is okay. You know, it's really not a bad thing. You're not a punk for being respectful. Matter of fact, it makes you more of a man that you can show somebody some respect, you know.
But, I mean, the whole Madden scene, and guys will see this. The players will see this as years go on, as they mature, as Madden players or however you want to call them, go from boys to men or whatever however you want to label it. But they will see that Madden is not about, I know it's winning tournaments, winning money, but the average player will never win a tournament. The average player will never win that much money. But you know what? They still keep coming. You know why? Because it ain't about the money. It ain't about the trophy. It's about the competition. It's about the camaraderie. It's about meeting these guys online who you can put faces to and having a fun. You know, with Players Bowl, Nationals, or the other big tournaments, there's like a homecoming. You know, all these guys getting together and talking junk. But guess what? At the end, we all cool. We all brown. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's no beef there. It should be just – it's Madden, you know? It's going – at the end, it's over. It's over. It should not be taken to the extreme past that. Like you said, so I think if you establish that kind of relationship, that like you saying, as far as the baller you playing, whoever you got on the sticks, it has to be, you have to respect your baller that you playing against. You have to. That's only gonna make it right for the whole community.
I agree. Let me see. We got a couple of callers here. Let's see if anybody wants to chime in. 443 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, what's going on, T? This is the prototype. Just calling in to show my support. What's up, everybody listening out there?
Prototype, just for the record, this is our commissioner of the EAFL PS3 League. So welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in. Got another 443 area code calling in. The other 443 caller, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey there. How's it go there, man? This is Thurman from Baltimore.
Thurman. What's up, man?
What's up there, people?
Welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Welcome to the show. So you've been listening to the show. Any comments?
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to a lot of different things, and, you know, above you guys were talking about the guys that didn't know about the tournament, and, you know, it's crazy that we found out, but me and Bob sat in EA Studios about a year, maybe a two ago, and when EA told us, well, we told EA that the majority of the guys that come to the Madden Challenge have never even heard of our leagues or the tournaments or the things that we do, they couldn't believe it. They didn't even know it. You know, so when we talk about building up the community, you know, we tried to do that with some of the things that we were doing with EA, but eventually, you know, they screwed us over kind of a little bit about that. But it's a big thing where we, you know, need that fresh blood and all those millions of people that play online and do all these other things with Madden. You know, we need to kind of find a way to bring them into the community.
You raise an interesting point, Bob. Yeah, you know, I certainly, you know, I don't want to put you in a position to say anything that can come back and bite you. You know, but we had Big B on several weeks ago, and he was pretty honest about some things. I'm wondering, you know, what you think about, you know, EA Sports' involvement on the tournament scene. You know, we know they do the Madden Challenge and what have you, but do you think that there's even a larger or a different or a better role that they could have to help improve the scene?
I think it's a situation where I think any type of, I guess, events or the, I guess, what we put out in the community can always use improvement. I think actually over the last course couple of years, EA has made strides as far as trying to be more involved in the, I guess, the underground community, so to speak, through different avenues that, you know, different ideas they came up with, as far as, like Thurman mentioned, with the League Night, and just as far as getting involved with the Community Day and different things like that. So they are making strides to try to get more, I guess, close the gap between the community, what they label as the underground community and quote-unquote EA Sports. So they're reaching out to us, but before they didn't reach out to us like that. So if you think where we were before compared to where we are now, there is some effort being made. How much effort? Do we want to see more? Of course we do. You know, of course we want to be EA to have more presence at the different events or just the tournament organizers or behind the scenes. But I think it's a time factor, and it's just a matter of us sitting down with them and getting them to understand our whole, this overall concept, and trying to explain to them what they don't see. Like Thurman was saying, like Ron was saying, it's you know, when we sat there at the table and told them, you know, you guys don't get it as far as the underground community. When you go to these challenges, you guys don't know about these leagues and these tournaments. They don't have a clue. They're like, wow, all that's out there? All that, this, and they're like amazed. But, you know, a lot of these guys, it's a gap there that has to be closed. And EA is trying to close the gap. You know, they got a lot of guys that are running the show now. And like I said, with Brown and Top and Rico really in the mix with what's going on with the challenge, you know, the gap's being closed. But things, like anywhere else, take time.
Sure. Okay. Well, that makes sense. You know, while we have all of you guys on, I also want to introduce someone that, you know, honestly, you know, for all of you guys that are on the line and many of you guys that are listening, doesn't really need any introduction at all. And we're really honored to have one of the pioneers to the tournament scene, Swami, on the line with us. Swami, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
The legend. Wow. What's up, Swami? This is Philly Ron.
Hey, Swami.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Doing? Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yep.
So, Swami, you know, again, and I only do this because I know that most of the listeners out there are pretty well-versed in what's going on in the Madden scene, but, you know, as the show's growing every week, we're getting new listeners, so I don't want to assume that everybody knows who everybody is. So maybe if you could, you know, and your resume is rather substantial, but maybe if you can just kind of give the guys out there kind of a quick review of who you are and some of the things that you've done, so everybody knows who they're hearing on the show.
Well, I'm probably most recognized as one of the founders of the national tournament, what we call nationals, over the years, and I guess in the mid-1990s, I took the local league that we played in called the PFL, and I took that to the Internet. Right at the time, the Internet was really just starting to explode. And by taking it through the Internet, the power of the Internet as it is, it just kind of grew exponentially. It wasn't really anything that initially when I started out was something that I had this grand vision on, because what I found on the Internet at that time was there were a lot of PC leagues. There were a lot of Madden ballers, but they were playing on computer and they were playing online, but they were playing on the PCs, on their home computers. And there were a lot of leagues out there, maybe a dozen or so, that were PC-based leagues, but there were no console leagues. I would filter through the Internet before Google and just try to find different things about the game. And I would always find PC-based leagues, but nothing consoles. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to put our console league up there. We have a console league here in South Florida. I'll put it on there, and I'll just do a report on our league. And I would just do stories and information about the little league we had here in South Florida. And I put up a message board, a forum, and from that, other Madden players found it, and that's where the community began to grow, and we started getting guys coming from all over the place, and they would come in and chime aboard, and it was really unique at the time because what was fascinating about Madden, and what's still fascinating about Madden, is everybody gets this addiction, and the awesome thing about the Internet and the tournaments in the early days was, this was well before online play, you started learning that you weren't the only one that had that addiction. And it caused you to bond with the guys that you met. And so I think that's what really initially grew the community, just finding out there were other people as crazy about the game as you were. And they would tell somebody, and they would come over to the board, and that's where it all got started at.
Okay, now you know your reach for the things that you've done over the years. You know, is, as I said earlier, legendary. What would you say? You know, let me rephrase the question. Is there something missing today versus when you were at the top of your game? You know, running the Nationals and the things that you were doing, do you see something that's maybe missing or a little bit different today? Because we're hearing, you know, the underlying theme, while the tournament scene is still strong, there seems to be, you know, the thought is that it just isn't what it was, and a lot of people are trying to get together to figure out, you know, what can we do to get it back? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a combination of things. I think that again, what really propelled things early on was just the fascination of a tournament where you got to go outside your neighborhood and you could play guys from all over the country and you'd meet guys that had the same disease, so to speak, as you had. And I think that early on that was very fascinating. And as we began to do the national tournaments, I think there was a bonding that really started with all of those guys that came. It was really interesting. What we found after the first couple of tournaments was there were guys coming together that didn't know each other before they got there, but it was something about the weekend that when they left, they had this bond or this brotherhood almost that they took with them. And I think that made the event, you know, everybody was competitive, and the competition was always there, and they were always good players. But I think it was the atmosphere and the camaraderie of the event that made it an event. It made it more than a tournament where you was just coming to see who was the best. And I think some of that changed for various reasons. You know, we underestimated, I believe, after Nationals 4. I remember being asked the question at Nationals 4 when we were in Los Angeles, what do you think online play is going to do to the game? And I remember answering at that time, I said, I don't think that it's going to be that big of a factor in tournament play, because I think people will always prefer the atmosphere and the ambience of a live tournament because you can't beat it. But I think what we underestimated was the other components to online play, which means that people started to not like the way the game was being played. And, you know, the people that they were competing against, you know, it began to kind of be a turnoff. And then when you looked at the investment that it took to go to one of these events financially, it was a hefty investment. So players started looking at that investment and wondering if it was really worth the investment to go, and they were not really turned on by the competition anymore. And I think that had a lot to do with it, and it kind of distorted the whole atmosphere of the event. So it was some other factors too, you know, along with the way that the competition was going, the age of the audience. There were some differences on that as well, and then of course the money, the payout. I think that had something to contribute to it. And then, of course, we all know there was a lot of high-stakes gambling and other things going on at the tournaments as well. So I think you have to put quite a few things in the mix that caused it to change. I don't know if you can really point to one specific thing, but I think a combination of those things probably had a lot to do with it changing somewhat.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And that's just my opinion, you know.
All right. And I think we have 717. Is this T-Boy?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, brother. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, let me just recap for everybody, or as they say in the radio business, let me do a reset. You are listening to the Madden Voice. It is Tuesday, January 6th, and we have pretty much an all-star lineup tonight on the show. T-Boy just joined us, Bobby Storm from Game Time Philly, Philly Ron, the great Swami, love that name, Dynasty from Madden Nation, Little Man, I think I got everybody, A1, although A1 had some background noise, so I had to mute him, but let's see. A1, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, A1. So if anybody has any questions, I do have a question for the crew, and I'll get to that in a second. You can instant message me at AOL, on AOL, at EAFL Commissioner, and that's right on America Online Instant Messenger. I'm on right now. You can send an email to themaddenvoice@eaflmadden.com. You can also subscribe to our newsletter by just sending subscribe to that, and it'll automatically subscribe you to our newsletter. Or you can call in at 347-838-9525.
You do have an all-star cast on here tonight. You got some heavyweights in the mix. You got my man Storm over there. I hadn't talked to him in a while. Yeah, Philly Ron back there. I mean, these guys go way back. I think A1 is still doing his thing out on the West Coast, aren't you?
Yeah, man, they are. You're killing me, man. I'm trying.
Real quick, can I say this Philly Ron and Commiss T? This is as far as Swami. This man is he's also the first man to take Madden have an actual Madden radio show. He started this. Like, he was the one. There was a PFL show that would come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, this, like, all the, like you said, when he started this, it wasn't to, it wasn't, you know, because I'm looking to do this. It just so happened that everything that he did actually set a standard for what was to come later. Like, even the radio shows right now, because there were other radio shows that went on for a little while that stopped, and then for about a year or two, there was no radio at all, no Madden radio at all. And now with the Blog Talk, it's come back. But Ronnie was doing this from day one. And on top of that, what I was mentioning earlier about as far as all of the winning and stuff is concerned, as far as, like, attitudes go, this is one of the guys who sat me down when I first came to this and basically explained to me about perceptions. We had a conversation about a perception that was out there. And he wanted me to understand what was being perceived based on something that I was doing back then. And from that point on, that those little things are things that stick with you and let you understand, you know what, you know, yeah, this is a game that we all enjoy, but there is something else, there is something bigger, you know, to what we do. And I picked that up right away, and that changed me with how I deal with people. So, you know, when I first met you, Commish T, and you said, you know, you a stand-up dude or this or that, all that comes from a previous acquaintance with me and Swami. Like, when we started Game Time, like Bobby would tell you, when we started, it was, what, 8 or 16 of us in his basement. And then we brought our league to the internet and wound up meeting someone who had just came from the first Nationals, Wicked Weldon from Delaware.
Yeah,
that's
well,
how Game Time. That's how we shot up, and we start growing after that. So this guy is not only, you know, the starter of the community, but he also showed us, you know, as far as we were. I mean, young cats. I was probably like 19 or 20 when this started. So you're talking about a guy who gave you a standard where, you know, this is how you should act. It's cool for you to enjoy yourself, but remember, watch how you act, because at that time, this man was bringing Morris Chestnut to the event and other actors and had other spotlights on us. So you had to be careful. It's not necessarily you had to be careful, but when you're getting that type of publicity, you don't know what's going to come about. So he let that be known, you know, early on in the game.
And we had such a great time, too, know, that I think the demographics, again, of the tournament began to change, and I think whenever you have a demographic change, and I'm not one to knock the younger players at all. I believe that everybody can enjoy the game. But I think that when you have a difference in the demographics, there's going to be a difference in the way that you approach things.
Yes, sir.
And to only make our all-star cast even better, add one more star to the crew, our friend NJ Rod, King of the Couch tournament director, among other things, has also joined us. Rod, welcome to the show.
Rod. Hey, what's up, fella? I got like laryngitis or something, man, but I had to call in. I had to call in, man. There's such an abundance of people on there tonight. And excuse my voice, but after hearing all these guys on here, man, and this is like if you had like Parcells sitting down, and you have like Tom Coughlin, and you got Belichick, and you got Romeo Crennel, and we got Mike Al Groh. Swami was the start of all this, and we were all just like almost, I don't want to use be sacrilegious, but almost like disciples from what this man has done for the community. And you know, I've had numerous talks with him over the years and sat, you know, just going over different things. But the guy is definitely a pioneer in not just Madden, but in video gaming tournaments and events, period. Some of the stuff that he's done that we're doing now, this guy was doing radio broadcasts before there was Blog Talk. He was doing video casts, this and that. And I might not have been totally in the community at that point, but I was at a computer, you know, watching this stuff before I got down with it. And I can't talk too much, so I'm gonna get off here, but I just want to thank Swami for what he did, you know, for the community. And like I said, we're all just disciples, man. just taking our little spin on things from what this man started. I just want to thank him for that.
Hey, thanks, Rod. I appreciate that, man. And I appreciate all this cool stuff the brothers are saying. You know, I didn't know it was going to be a tribute show. Hell, I might have to get my hanky over here in a minute. And a brother all whelping up and stuff.
But you know, can I say something?
Hello? Sure.
Yeah, can I
sure, go ahead.
I'll be honest with you. My first big tournament I went to was, of course, down there with the Nationals with Swami. And when I watched the tournament, I had been to other tournaments. I watched the professionalism that everybody was carrying, how they carried themselves. I watched how they had the T-shirts done, how everybody was paid for. Mm-hmm. You had your bag. Everything was done. I mean, it was just a great time to be had. And I watched Swami the whole time because, I mean, I didn't want to pick his brain because I saw he was busy, but I liked what he was doing. I saw how he carried himself. And I try to tell a lot of cats, how you carry yourself is how people see you, whether they know you or not, whether they know your first name, your last name, or anything about you. But how you present yourself is so, so important. And he carried himself so well. And then, you know, I got a chance to meet the Bobbies. And, you know, it was the same kind of thing. These guys had a certain kind of swagger or perception about them that drew people towards them. And, you know, when we're out there doing tournaments, you know, people don't know what it takes to do a tournament or how much energy goes into it. But, you know, I just watch from those guys, and you just learn, and then you know what to do. And if you don't, you know, you can always call those guys up and ask them a question, and their phone is open for you. So, you know, I just want to thank Swami for that and my man Bobby.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I really do. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you, you know, I've always gotten a lot of kudos over the years from various members of the community, but you know, there's other guys that were really instrumental with the development of the community. When you think about guys like player coach PT, who's like my brother, just was really instrumental in so many things that we did. You talk about Nationals and you look at the video layout and the big screens and you could watch the games and change the channels on the TVs and see different games. I mean, those were all kind of things that he brought to the tournament. My man Third and Long, who was always a counsel and a confidant to me about different things in the community. I've always been surrounded by guys that really were willing to help out and contribute to the community. And, you know, all of the guys in Atlanta, the BFL, have always been supporters of Nationals and the MWS. So it's been a lot of people that really played a part in the success, and I always get a lot of kudos, but I have to let the brothers know that it was a lot of guys in the community that really helped to keep things going.
Let me ask you, you know, and someone instant messaged me this, but I think it, you know, was kind of on my mind too. So when we look at the number of people we have right here on this call, we've got, you know, I don't know how many years of tournament Madden experience on the line right now. We even got, you know, a couple of very talented ballers on the line too, and you know, we have a representative of the best Madden online league out there, the EAFL, on the line as well. Now that said, I got to throw in a plug for my league. But that said, has there any talks about, you know, you guys maybe on a more formal basis getting together? I know that EA Sports is the community leaders program, so I know that's one vehicle for communication. But outside of that, you guys all getting together, you know, regularly, somehow, some way, and talking about the tournament scene, talking about what's working, what's not working, and maybe even forming, you know, I know, you know, everyone has their own little crews and clubs, and there's Game Time Philly, and there's King of the Couch, and there's Harrisburg, and but maybe, you know, an oversight entity or something, you know, that focuses in on these tournaments and troubleshoots. There just seems to be so much, you know, A1 has different challenges on the West Coast and some of you guys are having out here, but all in all, it's one family and one community. Is there any way, or am I missing something and maybe it's already happening and just we just don't know about it?
No, we can, it can be set up. It can easily be set up. But you got, like, Bobby or the other directors would have to answer that. But as far as planning or setting it up, y'all want, I mean, I can get it done. Y'all just let me know what y'all want to do.
Well, on that note, Bobby, wasn't the Madden Federation supposed to be the answer to all of these problems?
I mean, I guess just to piggyback on that, Madden Federation was something that, like I said, having Swami on here is just like you said, that's a legend in itself. It's good to hear you, Swami. But like a lot of these guys across the community don't realize what Swami has given to this community. You know, as far as just what you see in the community as far as tournaments, the challenge, Mad Nation show, all that. All that started right there. All of that. The radio shows, all that started right there. And Swami, we owe a lot to you. You know, you've shown us how to do things and the right way to do things. And we learn from the best, you know. So, and even though things are kind of taking a different turn as far as, you know, with the online and things going a different direction, even though we all do things different, we all still family. You know, we all still come together. And I think that, like I said, the Federation was something that me, myself, Brown, and a couple other guys put together about almost 4 or 5 years ago, but we never really got off the ground. So I kind of brought that back up last year and kind of like rediscovered it, and along with the help of T-Boy and some other guys like Thurman and Boza and some other guys, we try to just form an alliance as far as not saying a overall group, but some kind of a sanctioned body that guys can kind of rally around as far as tournaments to say, like, you know, like a Swami, you know, as far as the national points and different things like that, so guys can kind of see where the direction where the tournaments are going, you know, as far as the governing body setting the rules and all that kind of thing. So it's just a matter of us all coming together and putting our ideas together and coming to, like, you know, some common ground. I think we all have been there. I think we all can go there. You know, it's just a matter of us getting the schedules together and finding the time to do it. I don't think it's impossible. I think it's right there on the forefront.
And I would add to that, it's always great to hear from you, Bob. We got to get together and chop it up a little bit on the side and catch up on some things. But I think to add to that, too, that the mindset of the community probably needs to be overhauled. And the competitors in the community have to look at things and be willing to approach them differently for the betterment of the success of the tournament. Because if you've got guys out there that are willing to bring excellent organizational skills and put everything together and have a great event for everybody to come and have a good time, then I think the first thing that we have to do is make sure that they can feel good about the experience after they've done it. And that takes some giving on the part of some of the competitors, you know, and some understanding on the part of the competitors to allow the event the opportunity to be successful by working within the guidelines of what the tournament directors want you to do in terms of registrations and the cost and the prize money and all of those things. So I think that there needs to be an overhaul there. And then in order for it to be successful, it has to be more of an event. Even though the competition is excellent, you've got guys, you know, you think about a guy like Thurman, and no disrespect to Thurman. Thurman in the Baltimore League is an excellent baller. But I don't think Thurman would go to Nationals thinking that he's going to win the tournament. I think he wants to come there and feel good about competing and feel like he can stand up to some of the best players. You know, just like myself would. You know, I would probably think I'm okay here in South Florida, but I know when I get to the national level, I'm probably not going to be walking out with the tournament trophy. But I do want to feel good about being able to compete at a high level and enjoy the atmosphere of the entire event. So I think it has to be a little bit more than just whether or not I can win the prize money. So I think you have to kind of overhaul some things there. And I think once you do that, if you can do that with the players in the community, then you can have those things, you know. Because right now, the focal point is on what EA offers in terms of prize money and trips and television appearances and things of that nature. That's good, but it's for only a select few. Mm-hmm. There's so many other people that are left out of the mix. And I think that you can capture those players and have a tournament tour almost, so to speak, in different areas of the country that lead up to one major tournament. But you have to bring back the importance of the camaraderie and the atmosphere and the environment of the event itself. And I think if you don't get that, then your numbers are always going to be suspect.
So right. I want to cap on what Swami's saying, and I think a part of what goes on in the community is, you know, people like the payout. People always have a problem with payout, and you know what goes on. I watch EA change from what they were doing, which was $100,000, to now they do the cash and the gift card, and people still come to the tournament. And I think what happens is, while when we do tournament, we kind of put a more personal approach on it, and people can walk up to us, and people can talk to us, and they look and they see what's going on. And I think that they think that, okay, well, you got this X amount of people coming in, that X amount of people coming in. I'm like, you know, hey, this is an event. You need to enjoy yourself. You know, you need to not worry about what the payout is and enjoy yourself. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. And, you know, people focus on those things, and I think that takes away from a lot of what goes on and makes the event bad, because there's only a few people out there who cry about the payout or this or that or whatever, but, you know, they don't want to pre-register. And like Swami said, you know, those are the things that need to happen. When you go to some of these other major tournaments, if you don't register for now for the Madden Challenge, you can't get in. And 9 times out of 10, they have 5 or 6 people that they let in after they do their pre-registration because they're sold out. You know, we need to get more into that influx of doing things like that.
Yeah, and in order to do that, you know, you really have to have the cooperation of the community, and it needs to be more, in my opinion, and when I talk about an overhaul, it needs to be more of an approach from appreciating actually what that organizer has to do. And I remember going up to Game Time Philly tournament. What year was that, Bob? Was that, what, 2001, 2002, three, somewhere?
2003 when Lou Tillery came up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 2003.
I remember, and now you're talking about the good old days, because I would go to Philly and broadcast the tournament on the internet, have the live tournament feed going, and or maybe, you know, go to Atlanta and broadcast the BFL championship. I remember we did Mega Bowl one year. I went up there just to do the broadcast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much fun just doing that stuff. But I remember at the end of that tournament, Bob, I remember when all was said and done, and the last game was played for that evening or something. It was like 3 or 4 in the morning, some ridiculous time, and everybody was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody left there but you and a couple of the other guys that were going to help you out. And I was still there with the equipment to break down. And I could just remember the look on your face. Like, I just feel like I got hit by a damn train.
Mm-hmm.
And you just think about the amount of work that you had to do to get started, just to get the tournament off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now the amount of work to close out the tournament, the packing, mm-hmm. the moving, the paying out, the paperwork, and all of that stuff. And there's so many things that the organizer has to do. And the competitor has to have a new mindset of appreciation, because these guys are not playing with EA dollars. They don't have Best Buy and all of these corporate sponsors to lay out hundreds of thousands of dollars to shell this event out. You know, all of the guys that work on the Madden Challenge, Baller Brown and all of those guys, they're paid to haul in the TVs and set everything up. Everybody's paid to come in and do their job and plus the sponsors kick in big money. You're looking at a tournament organizer, it's him and a couple of his boys that are diehard, that at the end of the tournament are probably going to ask him, say, what in the hell are you doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
And so the competitor has to approach these kind of events different than they approach an EA event. You know?
Yeah.
EA doesn't really care to make any money. They're giving out money. This is promotional event for them. They're not trying to make a dollar. These tournament organizers have to make money to cover their expenses for renting the TVs and renting the games and whatever else they have to do. So the baller needs to have an overhauled approach to the tournament scene before you can really get it off the ground. And to be honest with you guys, years ago we had that when we first started, because nobody came. The first few tournaments we had, there were some people didn't even know what the payout was.
Mm-hmm. They just played because they just went for the love of the game, the love of the tournament.
Somebody
they just
to
came.
The best. See, that's another thing. People don't care about being the best unless there's some money involved with it.
Yeah.
And then that's crazy. I don't understand that mindset of, you know what, I'm just here to do my side thing, and who cares who actually wins. Nah, that's backwards. Do your thing at the tournament, and whatever you do outside of that, okay, that's what you do, but you're not here for your side thing in tournament second. It's tournament, then whatever else you do.
Yeah, and that was another thing that I think, again, changed the demographic of the tournament a lot, too, because most of the early players, they were all corporate guys, career guys.
Yeah.
And they didn't really come to try to make money. You know, they came for, as my man just said, they came for the bragging rights. They came for the experience. And if they won, it was more important to hold up that trophy than it was to get a check for $1,000 or whatever that the payout was going to be. And so you didn't see a lot of the huge wagering on the side. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody that there never was gambling, because I've told people before. The first Nationals, the first game I ever played was, I think, was for $50 between Fruit Man and the creator. You know, they played for $50 right on the spot. And guys would be up in their room and they'd play for $20 here or there, you know, little stuff. But I think by the time we got to Nationals 5, Nationals 6, we started seeing these high-stake games, guys playing for thousands of dollars, and that was the lure of the tournament, was to come. And you had one guy that would have about four or five guys in his crew, and he would come there almost like a pimp. I probably shouldn't say it like that. That's bad. He'd come in with a pimp, and he has his hose, and they go out, and they play each other for all of this money, right? And then everybody got to bring the money back to the camp and split it. And it was always some feuding about that, you know.
Always.
Yep. So I think when people started to see that, the career, shall I say, clientele, they just say, well, that's not really my thing, and I'll stay home. And you put that into the fact where the rules of the game, too, you know, Bob, that had a lot to do with it, too, how the game is being played. And, you know, are you going to punt on fourth down? I remember one year we had a big shake-up in the community because, oh, there's no fourth down rule and all of these other things. And so that had a lot to do with it also. And I think, you know, as the guy said earlier, you could probably – have some great tournaments, but the mindset of the community, I think, needs to be overhauled first.
Yeah, he's exactly right, because like I said, I think that, you know, when it was at its peak and when I was watching Young Guns play against Lou Tillery, I'd never seen anything like that before in my life as far as a game with money attached to it before, and I couldn't believe it. But I think that eventually it led to the whole crew and gambling crew against crew, and this, that, and it kind of took away from the actual tournament that was going on. But, you know, it was part of the scene, but unfortunately it was, I'm not going to say it was a black eye, but it was something that just happened during the tournament that just kind of grew out of control.
And yeah. I want to jump in and just add, I want to add one thing. I think, you know, I'll tell you guys straight up, you know, my day job, I work for a bank. You know, I'm a mid-level executive at a bank, okay? So I understand money, and money changes people. You know, and when you have 18-year-olds playing for $100,000, it changes people. And I think that also lends into why, you know, you see the level of disrespect, because these guys are thinking, everybody's thinking, I got a shot at that 100 grand or that 50 grand or that big pot, and you know, you're messing with my money. You're getting away and me getting my money. They're not thinking, you know, I want to be the best. I'm playing for the best. I love this game. I'm going to walk away the best in the world. They're thinking dollars and cents, ching, ching, I want the money.
And the fact that, like I've mentioned before, the fact that EA, or the Mad Nation show, which doesn't actually show you how, basically they don't show you what actually goes on outside of the actual camaraderie with these guys. They just paint, it almost paints a negative picture of how we interact with each other. But as far as, like, you know, Dynasty's cool with RG and them, like, these guys, when they're around each other, they're just fierce competitors. So if you're only showing that, and not showing how these guys interact, like, let's say at a tournament when they're not playing, you don't get to see that, you know, that's not really how these people approach each other or deal with each other. This is just a TV show, and that has also hurt how we're perceived by people, because the other, like I was saying before, guys now think that in order to be successful in Madden, you know, if I'm not going to win, let me make a fool of myself so I can get on TV. Which is crazy. Now, the guys who were on this year, we had an actual good batch of guys who were on this year, but let's say you get random guys out there who are trying to make a name for themselves. They feel as though, you know what, I'm going to come to this Madden Challenge, because that's where it actually starts, and they have that guy walking around saying, well, do anybody want to make any guarantees? And that's where the popping off starts, and people believe that if they pop off enough, it may lead to something later on. So it's like Madden now is pure – we're all auditioning for reality TV right now, and it's basically how it's all set up.
Yeah, I'm as big a fan as I was for Madden, especially, you know, 10, 12 years ago. I used to tell PC, we used to talk about it years ago. I said, man, you know, surely if they can put bowling on TV,
mm-hmm,
surely they've got to be able to put Madden on here. It's going to draw interest. There, you look at the number of the consoles and the number of games that were being sold in the millions. So you know that the audience and the interest was there. They're putting cricket and lacrosse and stuff on ESPN. I'm like, come on, it's got to be coming at some point. And sure enough, it did. But once I did get to watch a couple of the episodes, I wasn't really into it, because it was a reality-based kind of thing. It's like reality TV.
Well, you know, and let me just, you know, as I'm going to wrap up this, you know, what I think is very interesting segment of the show, and, you know, I guess maybe one question, and let me get Bobby's take on this. You know, Bobby, moving forward, you know, with everything you've heard tonight, and you know, and the things that you know that you have coming and have planned, what do you see coming? What do you predict for the tournament scene for 2009?
I think we're gonna have a strong year. Like I said, we put a lot of work into this, and like I said, we have pretty much, like you said, say all-star cast, but we always have, as long as we got, you know, new guys coming up that we pretty much pass the torch to, and they understand the concept, understand the whole hard work put into it, then, you know, the saga continues. You know, the legends keep growing. You know, like I said, my man T-Boy, who's on here now, And to 2 years, T-Boy's been involved. He's like, he just took it another level. You know, what he's doing down there in Harrisburg is just is unbelievable for the guys who haven't been down there. You know, the guys who have been down there just see what he's done with the tournaments, you know, what we were doing. You know, and it's like everybody has their own spin on it. And to think that a tournament scene is dwindling down, I don't think that. I just think it's a matter of us as organizers getting together and coming together and just kind of forming one, not so much a group, but some kind of a one common entity. Like, you know, when we had the MWS, and then we had spinoffs at the Ballers Club and different things like that, but still, we all kind of like reported to one group, you know what I mean, where we kind of had set rules and all that kind of thing. I think that we could, like Swami said, we kind of like spin off with that. I think 2009 will be fine. I think we just a matter of us getting together and we're going to get things organized. And like I said, there's definitely going to be a Players Bowl. And you know, we've got some other big tournaments. We've got Harrisburg at the end of the month. And Thurman's got some big stuff coming up. And I know A1's got some stuff coming up. And then, not just to piggyback on this season coming up, you know, A1 and I already talked. You know, me, him, and Rod will be sitting down and getting together with some other organizers because we want to do, like you said, the tour thing. You know, there's still time. You know, tournament season just really started after the challenge. You know, we go to Turks, you know, this weekend, you know, Dynasty. And you know, with that, once all that's done, you know, tournament season really going to kick off. Every month, you know, Rod's got things going on KLTC, and we do our thing down in Philly. And like I said, T-Boy and Thurman. Then you got KLTC down south. You know, tournament scene is popping. And then we got Midwest. You know, they really getting into the mix. You know, so it's like everybody just has to hold their weight and not pull each other down. That's the main thing. No one can pull each other down. We got to stick by each other, support each other, and I think the tournament scene will be fine.
And let me tell everyone out there listening that next up is Joro, who is an EAFL member and also the Canadian, I believe he is the Canadian online Madden Challenge winner, and he will be representing the EAFL and the Turks and Caicos. And so we'll have him on in a few minutes to talk about, you know, how he got there and what he expects. Swami, I'm getting a lot of guys in the chat room asking the same question. Are you going to return to the tournament scene and run, you know, tournaments, start, you know, what you did so well up again? You know, will guys see you visibly in a tournament scene again?
You know, I never say never. I've kind of really miss interacting with the community and the ballers. And, you know, I've stepped away to try to get my business off the ground. And that's what I've really been working on the past couple of years, is trying to get my own business up and running. But I still have a definite enjoyment and a fix for just the MWS and the community and the interaction with the ballers. And when you look at, for a lot of us that have come through the community, when I talk about guys like Third and Long and TC and Wink and all of these guys, these are friends for life. These are guys that have become very close to me, and we met through the game and the community. And so I never say never. I may want to hopefully get things a little bit more established in my business and come back and continue to do it as a hobby. You know, I'd love to see the tournament scene return to the way it was in its heyday, because there's nothing like, you know, there's nothing like a game time Philly joint up in at the Holiday Inn in Philly, you know, or Mega Bowl in Las Vegas that was just really off the chain. And then all of the nationals that we've had, I mean, it's nothing like that whole phenomena. And so I'd like to see that come back and just enjoy it some more. And I'm going to talk to Bob.
Right.
You know, I've been out the mix for a minute, but I'm going to talk to Bob. I'm going to pump Bob up a little bit, see if we can get him to take charge of a few things a little bit. He's the man, I think.
And I'm a big one. I'm a big one at holding people accountable. So I'm going to be through the show pushing, you know, some things as well. And so expect to hear that. Before I let you guys go, someone that all of you know and well just wants to say hello and thank you. I have Coach K on the line.
So cool.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just thanks to you guys, you know, for coming on and stuff like that. You know, we really appreciate, you know, you guys taking out the time, you know, in your busy schedules, you know, to come on here and, you know, basically, you know, let the community know, you know, what basically, you know, the history of the tournament scene and, you know, what it could be.
Well, it's my pleasure, man. Y'all don't fool around and bring me out of retirement. Where's my PlayStation 2 at? Oh, I forgot. They don't use that anymore, do they? Y'all on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, huh?
And Wii. Don't forget the Wii.
And the Wii, that's right.
And the Wii, right?
A1, when is the next tournament? A1? Is A1 still on the line?
I believe so. A1?
Yo.
When's the next tournament?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, my bad. And what'd you say?
When's the next tournament?
Man, it's probably going to be in April sometime. My tax season about to start, so I'm going to be locked in my office 12, 14 hours a day. Getting these people their money back. Probably like in April I'm doing something. But I think the Madden USA guy doing something on the same day, so I might have to move it up a week or back a week or something.
Okay. Well, I'll be in Cali next week. I remember a couple years ago I was coming from LAX and I saw signs on Century, I think it was, coming out of LAX, there were signs on Central, one of those streets headed from 495, and it said Madden Tournament, and it was an advertisement, little signs along the way, and I think you were doing your thing back then, so I was wondering if I would fall in time and catch y'all in action.
Shit, yeah, man, yeah, I did all that stuff, man. I was on the good old PS2 days, though.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody, and I don't know that I'm going to remember everybody. We have so many guys on, but certainly Bobby, Commissioner, you know, Storm, as everybody knows, and Bobby, Philly Ron, the great legend himself, Swami, NJ Rod, A1, T-Boy, Dynasty, Little Man. If I missed anybody, please forgive me. I appreciate you guys. You know, as Coach K said, we truly appreciate you guys coming on to the Madden Voice. And, you know, I hope everyone gets this positive message that we're trying to deliver. And, you know, we're going to be here every Tuesday night doing our thing. All of you are welcome back anytime. Call in or, you know, just listen in or any, you know, anything that we can do to help promote your events, you know, the things that are going on, don't hesitate. And, you know, we'll be sitting back waiting to hear from you, Bobby, so that we can set up a show. We're going to do a special show dedicated just for the announcement of Players Bowl. So it's going to be a show just for that one purpose alone. So we're excited about that and looking forward to it.
Thanks for having us. It's pretty nice. Swami, man, it's good to hear your voice again, man. I'm gonna give you a call offline just to, you know, just check up on you, see how everything is going with your business.
All right, man.
And it was great to hear from you, man.
It's my pleasure, man, to talk to everybody. And I'm definitely looking forward to keeping up with what's going on in the scene and kind of finding my way back into the mix to see what's going on and get an update on everything. So definitely give me a holler. Bob, let's talk when we get a chance. Ron, it's good to hear from you too, brother.
All right. I'll give you a call for me.
Okay.
All right, see ya. Yep. Thanks for having us.
All right, everybody.
Thank all right, good.
All right. We still have Coach K on the line. Coach K, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. And I believe you've got Joro with you?
Yes. Joro?
He's there.
Sorry about that. Joro?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. All right, so, you know, we don't have a lot of time left. We spent most of our time listening to some really what I thought was some tremendous information from some of the top guys in the tournament world. But speaking of tournaments, tell everybody, you know, you won a major tournament, and, you know, you're going to be representing the EAFL and representing yourself down in Turks and Caicos very soon. You know, tell everybody, you know, the tournament and how you did.
Well, I won the online challenge, and my bracket was 32 players, I think. And it was pretty easy. Like, there was no competition because I play with some tough guy every day. So my bracket was pretty easy.
Sounds good. So, you know, you play with tough guys every day, so you happen to have an easy time at the tournament. Do you think when you go down to the Turks that, you know, do you expect it to be just as easy, or do you think maybe the competition is going to step up a bit?
Of course, the competition is going to be higher, but I feel like the game, just the way it plays, you know, with all the fullback dives, girls, and all that, the game can go on either way, you know. So it's going to be great to be down there. I hope to do the best I can and have a few victories.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. Now you were also interviewed by, and we have him on the line now, Glenn from GetYourTournament.com. Glenn, welcome to
How's
the show.
How's it going, guys? How's it going?
Glenn, what's going on?
Going good. Going good. We have Glenn, we have Jaro, we have Coach Cam, myself, Kamish T. Now, Glenn, tell us a little bit about your site. I saw the interview you did. Good job.
Thanks,
you know, we love free press. Tell us a little bit about your site.
Well, what I do is I cover tournaments mostly in California, but I started covering the online scene just a couple months ago. Heavily involved in Madden and Super Smash Brothers, so if you're ever in the state and competing in a tournament, you'll likely see me at one of these events, especially for Madden. Love Madden. Love how the field is competitive. Almost every time I go out to a tournament, everybody's energized. I just enjoy it a lot. I've been doing it for a couple of years now.
Okay. Now, do you have a background in Madden at all? Is it just something you just kind of like, or is there other things that you've done in the Madden community?
No, I just play casually here and there. I'm basically a former sports journalist turned another journalist to the tournament world and covering video games. No real Madden experience at all, though I kind of get an idea of strategies and top tier teams and what works and what doesn't. I was a former competitor, but in other games, Madden is just something I just love watching. It's just something that when I see it, it just hooks me because of the way people play the game.
So you were actually, you said, a former sports journalist?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Ah, that's interesting. So, you know, I like that versus, you know, guys that we have that decide that they know how to write because they're good at Madden. We actually have someone who was a writer deciding that he's going to write. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, are you going to, you know, what are your plans coming up as far as, you say you cover Madden tournaments. Are you going to cover the Turks tournament or, you know, is that in your plans?
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to head down to Turks. I just like to stay in California because that's what most of the website's based of, just any tournaments that happen in California. So if there's anything coming up that you guys know of, let me know, and I'll head out there, get some footage, talk to a player. Right now, the one tournament I know that's coming up is A1's tournament in April. And that should be really high-powered since it's going to be well after Turks. And hopefully a lot of good players show up because I think that's going to be the premier event after the finals tournament.
Yeah, there is a guy that we had on the show a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, if you or anybody out there wants to check out our archives, you can actually go right on iTunes and just search for EAFL Kamish, And all 32 shows are there for you to listen to at your leisure on iTunes or on your iPod. But the show we had a few weeks on, there's a gentleman his gamer name is Madden USA, and he's running something called the Madden USA Challenge. And he actually has a schedule that's on the same day as A1's tournament. So A1 said that he's kind of prepared to move his if necessary, but we'll see. You know, I'm not sure how far down the planning Madden USA guy is on his tournament, so we'll see.
Yeah, actually, I just remembered right now that there is a tournament coming up for Madden 09 at UC San Diego. It's going to be in 2 weeks. It's the big event they have there every year. It's called the Winter Game Fest, and it's several games throughout the board, but Madden is one of the games. Not certain what the prizes are yet, but I think they're hoping for a pretty good turnout. I think the San Diego scene, I remember last time I was there covering one of their, I think it was one of the Got Game tournaments, and they got a pretty good turnout from what I saw. So hopefully the UC San Diego tournament gets a good turnout. I believe it's on the 17th. So be sure to check that one out. I'll likely be there. So.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. Anything else you want to add? Anything else you want to contribute? Anything else we should know about you or your site? It's getyourtournament.com, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, it's just if you're interested in tournaments, if you like watching footage, we got tons of footage up on the site and on our YouTube portal. We got more than 2,000 videos of all types of games, including Madden. Be able to check out some of the top players from the West Coast here, including a lot of the top players from the West Coast. We have tons of footage from them, so check it out whenever you have time.
All right, sounds good. We look forward to it, and you know, we hope to have you back again. As Bobby Storm just said, you know, we're now post Madden Challenge, but right about to dive into the heart of the tournament scene with Players Bowl and you know, some of the other tournaments that are going to be coming up. So you know, we hope to see some really good articles. You know, since we know the EAFL is going to represent strong in these tournaments, we hope to, you know, see some good articles with EAFL all over them.
Yeah, actually, I was surprised too because Joro, when I first contacted him, he was telling me he was from the EAFL. I said, "Oh, that surprised me because I didn't think anybody from up there would be participating in the EAFL and doing so well." So, big ups to him for getting on the league and winning the Madden Challenge and his regional, and good luck to him. Although sadly, I do have to apologize a little bit because I didn't pick him to make the final four. I picked the four of the guys. So
that's okay. And you know, for the record, the EAFL is worldwide. We've had guys in Australia, Europe, China, Japan. So, you know, the power, England, the power of the internet allows us to actually, you know, be worldwide with our membership, and we're pretty proud of that, actually. And we're proud of Joro. Now, Joro, are you still there?
Yep.
There was a I can't resist stirring the pot just a little bit, but Yo Mama, and this is the Yo Mama who you saw – on the Madden Nation bus this season. He wasn't actually on the bus, but he was on the show.
Nice.
And not that, you know, and he's in the chat room now, and he made a comment that he didn't call you by name, but he's that you shouldn't even waste your time going to Turks. You know. And I know he's listening, so I want to give you a chance to respond to that comment.
It's simple. Ask him at what he's the best in his country.
There you go. And not a lot of people that can say that they're the best in their country. So, all right. You know, like I said, there's a fine line between disrespect and a little bit of smack talk, and I'm okay with a little bit of smack talk because, you know, it just gets the blood going a little bit. So nothing wrong with that. All right. So Glenn, I appreciate
and Coach
the call
K,
in.
I just want to say something real quick about that. And I see your mama at every tournament I go to, and he's delivering the smack more than anybody else that shows up. Just waiting for him to get to the finals. I'm kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean, he, that's what he does. He talks smack, and he called into the show last week and had us cracking up. He actually did a funny kind of smack talk last week. It was actually pretty funny. All right, so Glenn, appreciate you calling in. We'll be talking to you again, I'm sure, and checking out the website, getyourtournament.com. Go there now, check it out, bookmark it, and, go ahead and check it out. Appreciate you calling in, Glenn. Joro, good luck in the Turks, man. Good luck. We want to see you
man.
Do well. We want to hear good stories. I told you I'm flexible, man. I can fold up and fit into one of those suitcases now. I can do it, man. I know I'm a big guy, but I can twist and just holler. Let me know. Holler at me. I'll meet you at the airport. I'll twist into one of those suitcases, and I'll be right down there with you. All right. Well, good luck to you, Jaro. And as we wind down, Coach K, any final thoughts on anything you heard tonight or anything?
Hey, man, it was a good show, very informative. Especially with the earlier segment, once again, thanks to Glenn from GetYourTournament.com for coming on, and good luck to Joro going out to Turks, and also good luck to his friend Primetime Surfer that's also going to be representing Canada in the Madden Challenge Finals.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for calling in. And, you guys have a good night. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, D.
All right.
Bye.
All right. No problem. We got a couple minutes left on the show. And just as we wind down, the EAFL leagues are all in their playoffs. And the Major League of the 360, and we didn't get to mention that Bobby Storm is going to head and follow through, and the guys that have won Super Bowls over the last couple of seasons will be getting their ranking points, and we'll be seeing their name on a list in short order, so hang in there. As we go into the playoffs, there's a lot of intriguing matchups, and what we're hoping to do one of these weeks, I do probably need to take a week off. I did not take one off during the holiday. So one of the next few weeks, there's not going to be a show. But next week we will have a show, and what we will do, we'll try to turn the focus back a little bit more onto the league, not too far away from the tournament scene. We think that it is important to the entire Madden community that these discussions take place. And anything that we can do to facilitate them and having people on the show and opening up lines of communication, as you saw, reestablishing lines of communication that may have been, broken or lost, I think is a good thing. But we do understand that, our first obligation is to the EAFL and to our owners. So next week we're going to try to turn the camera a little bit back onto the leagues, talk a little bit about all the Super Bowls will have been played and all the drafts will have been taking place for the upcoming season. So we will talk about that. And we will also, as we do every week, see what's going on in the tournament scene and in the Madden community. We will also talk about the NFL. There were some great games this week, and there's going to be some even greater games coming up on Sunday. After Sunday, we will know. We'll be down to four teams. There'll be two conference championship games that we can talk about and talk about our Super Bowl predictions. So there'll be a lot to talk about next week, and we look forward to everybody joining us. And remember, now I'm going to go through this all one more time. You can catch the Madden Voice Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock, right here, blogtalkradio.com/EAFL Madden. Forget about the rest. This show is the best, undisputed, number one Madden show online, hands down. If you don't believe me, go ahead back and listen to the last 2 hours and listen to the quality of the people that we have on the show. Check out the quality of the league. We are contemplating restarting EAFL Canada. And that's all I'm going to say for now. For you old-timers, you know what EAFL Canada was. We are contemplating starting EAFL Canada. So if you are interested in getting into the EAFL and have been waiting, that will certainly slow down your wait. Want to thank Bobby Storm, Swami, T-Boy, NJ Rod, Philly Ron, Dynasty, Little Man, Coach K, Joro, Glenn, the list goes on and on. The Prototype, loyal commissioner of PS3 League, always trying to help us out. Want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to remind you to join the EAFL because that's where all feuds are settled on the field.